Daydreaming About Dragons reply show autumn cider. Delicious. Here we go. This is a reply show. I'm going to be talking about some replies that came to previous episodes. If this is your first time listening to Daydreaming About Dragons, this is not a regular show. Usually they're very structured, in which I talk about a table technique for the first 10-15 minutes, and then we go to Inspiration Goat, who bleats at us a media inspiration, and we talk about that and what we can learn from that media inspiration, be it a comic book, a movie, a book, blog posts sometimes, podcasts sometimes, whatever it is, and then talk about how we can grab something out of that to use at our gaming table. So this is not a regular episode. Please go find an episode with a number if this is your first time. And that's it. We've got some cool things happening. Inspiration Goat has their own Twitter account, at Inspiration Goat, all one word. If you want to talk to the Daydreaming About Dragons podcast, Inspiration Goat is the front goat. Go check them out. Wouldst thou like to game deliciously? As Inspiration Goat likes to say, with a wink and a bleat. So check that out. Please follow it. You can also listen to the show on YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel up. The links to that will be in the show notes. Please check them out. You're welcome to tweet at me at my regular account too, but I would like to start to transition things over, but from the podcast to Inspiration Goat, and that's where I'm going to be rocking out. Things are going to be changing a little bit. I think I'm going to officially move the odometer over to season two as of the next episode. I think we're ready to do it. I think it's time. So next episode will be season two, and we'll see how that goes. See how that goes. I might start putting the regular shows out on Thursdays. So that's a bit of a change, and we'll see. We'll see. Changes are coming. Good changes. Interesting changes. And let me know what you think. We got some cool replies. A couple from Michael Miller from Incarnadine Press. The redder the better. An old friend, a dear friend, and one of my favorite people to game with on this planet. And then I've got a couple of blog posts from my good friend Ogre, also a dear friend, someone who I don't think I've ever gamed with. Oh, Ogre, we have to remedy that. I've never gamed with Ogre. I've never wrestled with Ogre. There are many things that Ogre and I need to do as friends, just to, we've shared a meal, but we need to game and wrestle, obviously, because that's how friendships are really made, through gaming and wrestling. Everything else is nonsense. Cool. Let's get to it. Michael Miller, rocking out, saying smart things. I appreciate it. We'll get to more in the responses in the outro.
Hey, Judd. Mike Miller from Incarnadine Press and Indie Games Explosion. I was just listening to your segment on Three Dials for science fiction, and I thought it was very interesting that all three of your dials, Dune and Alien and Star Wars, are all variants of dirty science fiction, lived-in science fiction, that aesthetic that came about in the 70s that was reaction against the clean, pristine future of things like Star Trek 2001 and Metropolis, and what had dominated the look of science fiction for ever, essentially. And yeah, I just thought it was interesting that there you have no representation of that sort of clean, pristine, not so lived in, fresh out of the box future. So just a thought. Enjoyed it. Bye.
That is a really good thought, Michael. Thank you so much for adding, just talking more about the Trinity dial of science fiction. It's definitely on my mind even more now that the Dune trailer came out. And so we're going to have a whole new, not only are we going to have a whole other, batch of art for, things that were created for this new movie, for the new two movies that are coming out about, on the first book of Dune. But it also inspired a lot of artists all over the Twitterverse to share their Dune art. And it's such a cool, evocative setting. You got a lot of really neat stuff. Yeah, I think Star Trek is a huge, you know, oversight, especially if you're calling the dials science fiction. I think if I could go back, I might call it space opera or fantasy or space fantasy or something else. I really feel like they're not exactly well named, but it's still, it's good. It's fine. And I'm digging it. And the idea that a lot of the fantasy, a lot of the stuff, a lot of the genre fiction that I was drawn to and this thought was most inspirational to me was, as you said, lived in. I think that's a really cool idea, and makes me think about how to make that part of our gaming. How do we show that a place is lived in? I think that's going to be an upcoming segment. I think that's really good. So thank you so much for giving Inspiration Goat something to chew on. And I appreciate that. And I'm just thinking about how, you know, making a setting lived in, going, you know, just trying to think back a generation, you know, from your current game, and you know, who's in the tombs, what's on the gravestones, has this family lived here for a long time? I don't know, just different things I've done in different games to show how something is lived in. I've got a game going with my friend Jen, and her character can summon ghosts. And that's a really cool way to show the past, right? Because suddenly so much of the past is open to her if she's willing to take the chance to do it and summon that ghost. Because, it, you know, summoning ghosts is always a chancy proposition. So that's one cool way, is to make the past visitable, right? Is to make it, you know, in science fiction, you could do something where, you know, ghosts are summonable or whatever it is. But in science fiction, you could do a bunch of different things. You kind of do like a Superman type thing where people's memories are, or, you know, personality matrices are encoded on crystals, and you like drop the crystal in a little tube and, you know, they pop up and then you can talk to them. It's a nice way to just be able to talk to the setting. But there got to be more subtle ways of showing that this place is lived in. And I don't know, I got to think about that. It's fun. It's fun stuff. Cool. Thank you so much, Michael. I always appreciate it. And here we've got some more stuff from Michael about you know, an antagonist being the, you know, antagonist redemption arcs, and which we talked about in a past episode, and how that can, you know, how to do that, how to set that up, and how, yeah, Michael will make it clear. Here we go. More Michael.
Hey, Judd. Mike Miller from Incarnadine Press and Indie Games Explosion here. I just heard your bit about antagonist redemption arcs and had a couple thoughts. One of the things you said that sort of struck me as not quite the right word is that the problem with the redemption arcs in RPGs is that there's, you need to have a secret bad guy. And I don't know that you actually, secret is the right word of what you were trying to get across, because everyone knows that Darth Vader has some British guy holding his leash. It's right there in the first movie. But in an RPG, that sort of tension developing between the big bad and the little bad, so to speak, is not visible to the players, and that's the problem. And if you have players that are comfortable with knowing things that their characters don't know, then you got tons of options of cutscenes and scripts and just outright telling them, and it's all fine and good, and they can do the dramatic irony, and it's great. However, if you have players who are more comfortable knowing things about the world primarily through the lens of their characters, it becomes a little more difficult to show the difference in agenda and motivation between the big bad and little bad. And then you have to get into realms of, like, if there's magic, then there's visions. You can still potentially do cutscenes where, even if you don't have the antagonist as a new player, as you suggested, just have a, we're playing out this scene, and for this particular scene, you are going to play this other person. And here's your motivation, here's what we're going to play out. In the sense, let them temporarily step into the shoes of the little bad, and then get that information to the players, either through magic or dream sequences, or maybe they're not even sure how they know. That could be part of the mystery. The other thing you can do, of course, is to give players spies into the bad guy's camp and all this sort of stuff. But anyway, those were the thoughts that I sparked while listening to your talk about redemption arcs. Good stuff. Thanks a lot. Hope you're doing well. Bye.
Hell yeah, Michael. You've got me thinking about how to do that, how to set up the big bad and their minion. You know, like thinking about the Emperor and Vader. And I don't even think you need, I love all of the amazing tools that you gave for, you know, having the players having a spy in the bad guy's court is really cool. Setting up cutscenes where the players play NPCs in the cutscenes, lots of fun. But you could also just announce it. You know, the Emperor sends his you know, Sith enforcer to deal with this problem. It doesn't have to be subtle. It could just be right on the table. Hey, this is the Emperor's right hand, red right hand. And, you know, you could just announce it. You know, it doesn't have to be a, you know, as you said, it doesn't have to be any kind of a secret. You can just make it very on the table that the Emperor is out there. I'm not sure if it was in Star Wars. It definitely was in Empire. Like, you know, we see the Emperor talk in Empire, but I don't know if how much the Emperor was mentioned in Star Wars. Maybe Kenobi mentions it. I just rewatched it, and it's all so the geek air we breathe that I'm having trouble remembering. But I'll have to go look at that. And it's a really good thought. Just make it really explicit. Hey, you know, this is the big bad's, you know, muscle. This is the big bad's sword. This is the big bad's hunter. And go right from there. Love it. All right, let's get to some blog posts by my good friend Ogre. So I'll have links to these blog posts in the show notes. You don't have to read them to follow along with me talking right here. I'm not going to go over them piece by piece. I'm just going to talk about them in broad strokes and then ask you, hey, go check this out because this is cool stuff. Ogre has a blog called Pens, Paper, and Polyhedrals, which is splendid. And he talks about some good stuff, really good stuff. He talks about borrowing ideas about structure from other media, which we've talked about in a past episode. And I like what he says about using comic books and pacing. And if you have an artist in the group and drawing stuff, I'm all about gaming leading to writing or arts and crafts or cooking or knitting or drawing or graphic design, whatever it is. If you can get inspiration from your game table, it's really cool. So that's a lot of fun. And he also talks about anime, which is great because I don't have a background in anime. I don't know very much about it. So it's nice to see someone who has broader media experience than I do, taking these ideas and running with them. And he's got really good stuff about plays. Really, really fun. So go check it out. And if that inspires something in you to talk about a way to take media inspiration and different types of media and how to, you know, use those in the gaming table, I would love to hear it. So drop me a reply to the reply to the reply. and we will get super meta. And Ogre also has a really cool blog post about preludes, and we talked about preludes a bit in a past episode, and how I took them from Vampire the Masquerade and then into Ars Magica, which is one of my early, maybe probably my first, one of my first five role-playing games, and one that really defined my college career and the college career of a lot of my friends. I was surprised to talk to Vincent Baker and Megwe Baker and Emily Carabas and find that they had a very similar Ars Magica experience that I did. And if you look at Apocalypse World and squint your eyes, you'll see a little bit of Ars Magica in there. Check it out. Try it. See what you think. Yeah, Ogre talks about one-shots as a way to introduce a longer game, and it's good stuff. I've done it. I talked about it in the last episode. It's really fun, and he has new ideas about it. It's all good, and I'm just excited that other people are excited and are gabbing about gaming with me. So, fun stuff. Thank you, Ogre. I always love reading your thoughts. I miss talking to you. We should have a Zoom catch-up and plan to game via Zoom sometime, because I realize we haven't done that. And when the world is less pandemic-y, we should wrestle, because why not? You know, wrestle your friends. You'll learn new things about them. Cool. Let's get to the outro. Before we get to the outro, a couple of things. I'm going to be recording on a bunch of Twitch streams this weekend. So Friday and Saturday, I will be playing on the actual play Twitch streams. I will have a link to their channel in the show notes. So Friday, September 18th, I'll be on the actual play Twitch stream with Sean Nittner, and I will be playing... I'll be GMing Burning Wheel. In that game, the dragon that he was sworn to just got eaten by spiders. And so he's got to figure out how his dwarf, Pilara the Pillar, is going to, how she's going to pivot. There's a lot of P's in that. Pilara the Pillar is going to pivot. Pilara the Pillar is going to pivot. Let's see. We'll find out how she pivots. I got his beliefs last night, and they are hot, hot, hot. And I'm really excited about Pilara's path to pivot the pillar. Gonna be good. Saturday night, I'm with Strash and Luke and Lauren, and we are playing Rebel Crown. It's a Forged in the Dark game in which you are supporting a claimant who is going to be Lauren, who is going to be played by Lauren. That it isn't actually Lauren. She's not a claimant to a crown that I know of, but maybe, you know, she's a pretty amazing person, so it could be. But I don't think she's a monarchist, and it's just a game. It's just a game. Come on, Jack, get it together. It should be good. I'm really looking forward to it. The characters they've made are incredible. I can't wait to GM again. I'm excited. I'm almost nervous. I'm kind of giddy and nervous, and it, like that. I've got that new game smell. I can't wait. So Saturday night, we'll be playing there. Both of those games, I believe, will start at around 9 p.m. EST. So join us. It's not a really big chat, right? It's a pretty small chat. So a couple dozen people at tops. And so we can really see what people are saying, and we take recommendations, and we look for recommendations, and we ask questions. It's a lot of fun. You know, you don't have to just watch like a TV show. Have it on in the background. Chime in when you want to. Then do your other stuff. Play a video game, whatever it is that you're doing. You know, that's how I take in Twitch streams. So that's my recommendation. It's a lot of fun. It's a cool group. I would love to see you there as part of that group. So come join us. The actual play link will be in the show notes. You can subscribe. You can follow it. You don't have to. And then you'll get an email when we go on. So that'll be fun. And I believe tonight they're playing, Mad J is playing Stars Without Number with a really cool crew. So if the words black hole mining interest you, then be there. I'm going to try to be there tonight. I've got my own Thursday night game, so I don't know if I'll be there, but I might be show up to the end. All right, I'll see you this weekend. Maybe. Yeah, if it's your thing, show up. And if it's not, I'm just glad you're listening. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Let's get to the outro. That's it. Daydreaming About Dragons reply show Autumn Cider. Thank you very much. Let's do this. If you'd like to support the show, there are a couple of ways to do it. And you can reply. You can send an email to me at judd.carlman@gmail.com. You can tweet at Inspiration Goat, all one word, at Inspiration Goat, all one word. Did I cheer when I got that Twitter handle? I might have cheered. I might have disrupted a loved one's business call. That might have happened. Absolutely. So I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear if something I say about gaming, a technique, resonates or flies in the face of your experience. Let's talk about it. I'd love to hear what your experience is like. So the more voices, the better. Let me know and hit me up at either of those spots or any of those spots. You can also record a message through the Anchor app and send it to me, which is cool. You can record an MP3 and email it to me. Also cool. You can record your own podcast, produce it, and send that to me and say, hey, this is my rebuttal. Fantastic. Write a book, a pamphlet, a screed, make a poster, an interpretive dance, a message on the ankle of a pigeon. All of these are options. The world is wide open. So let me know. I would love to hear from you. I would love this to be a conversation and not me talking from some digital pulpit, which is weird and hierarchical. I'd like to smash that. Other ways to support the show are to support the organizations that I've linked in the show notes. If our weird and wondrous hobby can help make the world, and me talking about it can help make the world a more just place by inspiring someone to give money to Black Lives Matter or to organizations that recognize that trans lives matter or that Black votes matter, then that's fantastic. So if you feel like you need to drop some money for the content you got here today, fantastic. You can go do it there. And the show is going to change a little bit, as I said earlier, but it's still going to be coming out regularly and things are fine. Things are even better. I'm feeling a good surge of inspiration. We might be going over topics in season two that we've gone over before, but we'll go over them in more depth. There'll be more gaming experience that we can link to them because I've been gaming more, and there'll be more talking about table techniques, the same basic stuff. It's all gonna be the same thing. It's just getting refined a little bit. The timing, the social media output, all that stuff. Cool. I will see you in a few days. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. And I hope your gaming is going well. I hope you've got a good sweater for the coming East Coast North American weather. I hope you're safe, and I'll talk to you soon. Be well.